You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Ken Guy Show, straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, where a bunch of filmmakers, actors, writers, and collectors are discussing pop culture and all things Comic-Con. And tonight, San Diego Comic-Con is the center of our conversation. But before we do that, let's introduce ourselves and tell you what, while you introduce yourselves tonight, and we're going to start with Katie. Or tell you what, we'll start with Danae.
Okay.
Wow, you're making it up.
Please introduce yourself.
Play tic-tac-toe here.
And tell us what you're geeking out about.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Danae. I am half of the Con Girls, half of the Samblings. I'm a writer here to talk about Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, with the people that I've always gone to Comic-Con with before. I'm so excited. I've got my Moscato and my Han Solo cup tonight. And right now, I have been geeking out all weekend because they dropped the official trailer for the Netflix original series Shadow and Bone, based on the Leigh Bardugo books. And I am so excited because one of my husbands is going to be in it. I've watched the trailer like 15 times, made like four TikToks about it.
I knew Luke or someone was going to say that.
Tell us who the husbands are.
One husband.
One of several husbands. I mean, I have a rule. I've gone over it before that men fall into one of three categories if they're famous. It's, you know, your queen, your son, or your husband. And one of my husbands since 2008 has been Ben Barnes. And I will watch anything that he is in, except I haven't watched Westworld because, but other reasons there. Maybe now that I have HBO Max, I'll watch it.
All right. How about the other half of the Samblings?
Yeah, hey, I'm Derek Sams. I'm a regular here on the Con Guy Show, a contributor to theconguy.com. Right now, wow, there's
you're in a cave, it looks like. What cave are you in? Are you in the back?
Right now, I'm still geeking out over Assassin's Creed Odyssey because my wife and I are addicted to it right now, and we like playing video games together after the kids are in bed. And I'm geeking out over WandaVision because this latest episode was amazing. I almost cried. And I'm still geeking out a bit about foster care. And if you want to know more about getting involved in foster care, you know, hit me up.
How do we hit you up if we can't find you?
Oh, well, say what, hit up Jim and he'll put us in touch.
I'll put you in touch. Derek, you and Laura are a godsend to these kids in your life. And I know that they're all sometimes a challenge, but man, God bless you for what you guys do. That's truly blessing. Up top, Cheeseman, introduce yourself. What are you geeking out about?
Greetings, everybody. I'm Cheeseman, a media director for the Con Guy. And I wish I could be watching more TV. I'm writing TV right now, but the only thing I've really had time to watch are a couple things. Are Resident Alien, which has been enjoyable, and WandaVision, as the others have said as well. So they've both been entertaining shows, and especially Resident Alien's been kind of just a fun kind of like weird kind of character. Me and Jake below me, we're big like Tim and Eric type fans. Not that it has anything to do with that, but when people play quirky characters like Alan Tudyk does, it's my kind of thing.
And for those who are just listening, when you say Jake below me, who are you talking about?
Who's this below guy?
Hey. Wait. Before we go to Jake, because he's got some stuff to show us, I think, let's kick it over to Katie.
Hey, everybody. It is Katie, a.k.a. the other half of the Con Girls. I do social media stuff for the Con Guy as often as I can, not as much as I used to, but hopefully I'll get better at it again. I also do articles for that hashtag show. I'm currently reviewing the second season of Batwoman and the fifth season of Riverdale over on the hashtag show. There should be a new article coming up tomorrow for Batwoman. And you can find me Twitch streaming. Things I'm geeking out about right now is I just played Ghost of Tsushima for the second time last night, second time I picked it up, and it's visually beautifully stunning. I've been playing it with Japanese dialogue and English subtitles because that is the same way I watch anime and Japanese movies. It's a little confusing, but I prefer it that way. And on the same note, I am geeking out about the fact that the trailer for season 5 of My Hero Academia dropped.
Oh.
So, hopefully we don't get to that too. So,
That's so cool. That's such goodness. Katie, can I don't know if I've ever asked you, are you bilingual?
No.
Are you familiar with the Japanese language?
I took 2 semesters of Japanese in college. I'm trying to relearn what I have learned on Duolingo, and I started doing that over quarantine and then got lazy and stopped. So I am going to try to keep picking that up because I do eventually want to become more fluent in it, but it's a very complex language.
Yeah. So before we kick it over to Jake, and Jake introduces himself because he's going to show us some stuff he's geeking out on, which is kind of cool, I think. If Luke told me right. But my name is Jim Fry. You can find me at theconguy.com or on social media, Jim Fry LA on Twitter, James D. Fry on Instagram. But here's what there's 2 things I'm geeking out about. No, just one. All right. Luke brought up, me and Luke are screenwriters, and you know, we're here in the nerdy heart of Hollywood. We got greenlit a six episode streaming series by one of the big studios this week, and we are over the moon stoked. We have no sleep till Wednesday. No sleep till Wednesday, but we are stoked. So
no sleep till Wednesday.
But here's what else I'm geeking out over. This weekend, I got the Fantastic Four meet Galactus. One of the first times. And in my estimation, I think we're soon going
to
meet.
You skipped a date to get that.
What?
You skipped a date to get that, probably.
Some things are more important, but listen, I think we're soon going to meet some new Fantastic Four members, maybe by way of WandaVision. We'll see. But I think Galactus is not far behind. So that's something. And before we throw to Jake, let me just say real quick, let's welcome some people in the comments here. Media Shock, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Glad to see you guys. Cat Blood, good. What's up, everyone? Good to see you.
Wait, hello, Kevin. Are you showing them, or should I be clicking them?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, show us.
Yeah.
Blood good.
Ben.
Blood good.
Here we go. And we also have Kevin Mark Longden. Are you going to click them? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I guess I'll click them for you.
Oh, look. Tony Kaz is on. Okay, let's talk about this.
Hey, Tony Kaz.
Tony was on our show. Remember Katie and everybody? He was on our show a couple weeks ago. We just got off his show, The Pod, guys. And you guys can catch his show. It just got finished, but we're going to post a link to it because we had a lot of fun talking about the upcoming Marvel slate, which we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Tony, always good to see you. Down below, Mick Manhattan. Love you, Mick.
Mick, Nickelodeon.
Screen Snobs, you guys should check out that podcast. It's great. And then Media Shock says HBO Max is going to tear Disney a new one. Star is 90% programming already shown on terrestrial TV. We'll get to all this stuff in a second. And there's one lady down at the bottom there, Luke, that wants to say hello to you.
Hey, Mom. Look who joined the show. Jake's there.
Hi, Mrs. Cheeseman. How you doing?
He's in driving distance to say hello.
Thank you.
He's in your garage right now. Just kidding.
Kristen, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right. Kristen's a regular. She's a good friend.
Oh, that's cool. And we have a special guest on the show tonight. Mr. Hey, Luke, why don't you introduce him?
One of my best friends. I was the best man in his wedding, and he's one of my closest friends since fourth grade. We went to elementary, middle school, high school, and college together. And we're still friends. Jake, JJJ. Wow. Who got me into most of the stuff. I'm probably here doing the con guy partly because of him, because he's the one that introduced me to most fandom. And he was the proud nerd I knew growing up who actually took me to my first comic book shop, even though I didn't buy anything, and just watched him get Max. And was it Max cards you and Jonathan Lane were getting, or comic books?
The Max, yeah. Image Comics, the Max, yeah, because they had that MTV show, and we were like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, I'm Jake from the Jacobus system here in Ohio.
Say hello, Jake.
Oh, hi, Ms. Cheeseman.
Hey, Jake.
Konnichiwa.
Is that what it is?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you said konnichiwa.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm here in Ohio. Glad to be on the show. Like you guys, I'm geeking out about WandaVision. I'm really geeking out about the new teaser for the new Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
No Way Home, even though it was just a quick little thing. There was no footage or anything, but it was so great to see that. So very excited about that. And like always, I'm geeking out about cool collectibles, lots of new things being introduced this time. Usually they have a New York toy fair this year, but unfortunately that was canceled. So a lot of things are being, you know, shown now. One of the things I love is the company NECA. They have just the most amazing detailed like action figures and collectibles. This was something Luke asked if I could show some of my more recent purchases. This was one they have Raphael from the Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh,
yeah, nice. The detail is so cool. Like the one where he's like in the outfit, you know. Luke showed this one. I got this one recently too. These the new Back to the Future series they have. I got Marty.
Hey, describe it a little bit for those who are just listening.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So these are 7-inch action figures made by NECA, and they are just super detailed. Like the likeness is amazing on these. Beyond anything, any company, if you ask me, is doing now for the price and everything. Really yeah. Awesome collectibles. The boxes are, you know, they come in are amazing. So if you keep them in package, they look awesome. Then if you're like me, you open them up and put them on display.
Yeah, and you can really switch cool. the heads, and they have different props yeah. you can put in their hands. Yeah. So you can do different kind of things to set it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's stuff that, you know, I love now as a collector, and I just, you know, put it on display. But if I would have had these as a kid, I would have like lost my mind. You have all the options and have things like that in the detail. So really cool stuff. I know you guys are big Funko Pop fans, and this is a kind of a momentous occasion here for me because I actually got my very first Funko Pop pretty recently.
What?
Yeah. He's got like thousands of things, but this is his first Funko.
That's okay.
They finally got him.
I finally got a Funko Pop. I've bought a few before for my wife. She has a couple of Disney ones. Like she has Olaf and the Tiki Birds from the Tiki Room Disney. But when I saw this one, I knew I had to get it because Weezer is one of my all-time favorite bands. So Rivers Cuomo from Weezer. They made
which
that.
Which Rivers is that? Which version of Rivers is it? Like, is it?
It's just kind of like
or album.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a generic one. It's just, you know, there's nothing real specific. He does have the sweater on, so it is kind of like the Buddy Holly video.
But okay, you know, yeah, that's probably Buddy Holly then.
Yeah. So that was the one. This I'll show two more things real quick. This one of my favorite movies is the 1985 horror comedy Return of the Living Dead, and they made this awesome tiki mug from a company called Middle of Beyond, I think it's called, and it's the Tar Man zombie from the movie.
Oh,
and
cool! Tiki
mug. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's the cool thing about it is the head actually opens up.
I love that. That's like Kahiki style as far as kind of the way they do the wood on that.
So, and I'm a big tiki collector, tiki mugs, and one of my all-time favorite movies. So when I saw that, I was like, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, the perfect for a zombie.
Yeah. And one last thing real quick I'll show you. If you guys remember, there's a thing in the 80s called Mad Balls, and they were these squishy balls that you would like throw around, but they had like funny faces and like monsters and stuff. So the company Mondo made their own version. They're called Mondoids, and they have different pop culture licenses. So one of them they have is Marvel. So they made Mondoids. This is the Venom one.
Oh, I
see it there. Yeah, so it's actually like it looks how like they would be like back in the 80s, like just the ball, but they have these cool stands that he sits on. So they have other ones like they have like Green Goblin and Thanos and a couple other ones. And
I used to have my mom used to get me those for Easter. I remember there's a video of me Easter getting those little like ball things that you know, the lower body thing. So
nice.
You like that, mom? Since that's she's listening and watching.
Yeah. So just a couple of things I got recently.
I will say with Jake's, did you get Doc yet?
No, not yet.
Doc.
I need to get him. Yeah. I still
got him at Target.
Yeah.
So
my mom for Christmas, I don't know if I showed this on the show before, got me Biff Tannen. So as you can see, like you can switch the hands, like, and it also has like the props and the different heads and everything.
So I have a question for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a controversial question, so just be prepared.
We're all about controversies.
Obviously, there's a couple weeks ago. Collectibles out of the box. You have to keep them in the box. But then there's people like Jake and I who are like, no, I want to see what I spent my money on and be able to enjoy it. So what do you, we know Jake is out of the box. I do both. There's some that I keep in the box.
I do both too.
Human, you're an in-box collector, correct?
Take him out of the box so the Godzillas can fight each other. That's what you
want. Just keep Cheeseman in the box.
A question, Jake.
Yep.
Do you keep the boxes?
Not always.
Okay, but sometimes.
And it's weird, yeah, sometimes.
You've like got I have a giant basement. You can dump it in a giant corner bin.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, if it's – like I tend to keep most Star Wars stuff. Like if it's a Star Wars action figure, I always just put the box in the bin or whatever. But other random things I might not keep unless it's a really cool looking package, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what's awesome about that company NECA is because they have those boxes where you can put them in and you can display them, as opposed to some where once you open them up, they're like the package is destroyed, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, I've got a question for Jake. Since we're talking collectibles right now, Jake, have you seen this one? Look close. Wait, here we go.
Wait,
is it on the screen?
Yeah.
That's a joke. That's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's not
that's
been around.
I can't really.
Didn't like Evan or someone send that to me?
Yeah, it's like a vintage Star Wars card, and it's figures of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, but it's their chart remains.
Your skeletons.
Awesome work for Indiana Jones, so I mean you can get double play out of those.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. Hey, we do have a couple of things to talk about this week.
We got some comments. Brad joined the chat.
Hey Bradley's here.
A little late there.
I was gonna say without San Diego Comic Con, Jake could pay off the house or have three more kids, but he's obviously still collecting on
full. That's awesome. Okay, Brad, you have either like wildly overestimated how much Comic Con tickets cost or wildly underestimated how much kids cost, if you're saying that.
You're supposed to be this too. You buy one to keep in the box, and then you buy one to play with. And yeah. I think that's what he did growing up.
I think you know what talking about is that Jake spends his life savings when he goes to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Well, I did bring basically an empty suitcase with me that was just like stuffed to the brim when I came back.
What was that, Derek?
I was going to say, to Brad's point, like I like that method best, and it really depends on what you get. But with Lego in particular, that is the best approach. Granted, Lego can be very expensive, especially the really nice sets. But if you can buy one to keep in the box, one to open and put together, most of the time, we just open them up and put them together, and we haven't even kept the box for that giant Hogwarts, because where would we keep that box? That Hogwarts is never going to get put away. It's staying out.
Guys.
I seriously disturbed Brad, I guess.
Anyway.
Thing you can spend money on collectibles at a convention if you budget and you know how much you're bringing to the convention. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but every year I've gone to Comic-Con for like the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I'm like, I have X amount of money. I distribute it into 4 days, and then on Saturday I evaluate how I'm doing, and if I have not spent enough, I'm like, okay, I can go crazy now. So, you know, and that's kind of how I do it. I also don't let them send me my receipts, so there's no paper trail to remind me.
That's what it is.
That's the best thing.
I want Brad to come on the show and tell us how he collects at Comic Cons, because he takes a carload. He always rents a car specifically to fill it up. Brad gets more stuff than anyone I have ever known. But hey, by the way, for those of you who are tuning in tonight, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. If you're listening to us on Apple, iTunes, or any place that you listen to podcasts, please give us a review. Tell us, please tell everybody you love us. If you hate us, don't say anything. Just go away. But if you and please like us on
just tell us why you hate us.
Just lie.
Yeah, just lie. No, and if you're watching us on YouTube on that hashtag show, we really appreciate it. On that hashtag show, they are great sponsors. They carry our show, and they are sponsored by Nip Vodka, which we want to make sure that we mention them tonight as well. Please drink responsibly. Also, the ESO Network. We love you guys. We love being a part of you guys. Also, the We Be Geeks Network. We have so many things that we're a part of, and that's why I love this this community. Also, just to let you know, Chris and Gus, y'all should check out Alternation by Pandemoni Toys. The toys are so fun and different, and they've got comic and short cartoons on YouTube. Have you heard of those, Jake?
No.
He's going to look it up, though.
Yeah.
I like that approach, though. That's like the way so many toys in the 1980s were introduced to, and with tie-ins of Saturday morning cartoon shows. And it's like that for a new generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your strategy, Katie.
Thank you. That's achievement.
And then here's Brad's strategy right here. It is.
I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
Rental car.
A rental car equals Comic Con Santa's sled.
He loads up on those free posters.
All right.
He's like, DC's being stingy this year. I only got 10.
Kevin Shock said,
Brad's birthday is usually during Comic Con. So.
Collectors everywhere losing their stuff.
I will say the last.
None of the boxes.
The last time I went to Comic-Con, my suitcase to fly home ended up being overweight, and I had to pull out, like, 5 outfits and just wear them onto the plane so that I could get all of my Comic-Con merch home.
Totally worth it.
That's how it goes.
Priority,
mm-hmm. All right. So for those of you tuning in.
So that could be getting home from Comic-Con cosplay.
We want to let you know that we will be talking about San Diego Comic-Con. There's great big news that dropped today. We'll be talking about that shortly. Katie's going to kind of lead us in that conversation in a little bit. But first, let's talk about there's a look and then some other conventions. But first, there's a little bit of news that's kind of coming. There's always a lot of news. It's kind of cool because, like, we're all sitting here, you know, sequestered at home or whatever it is we're doing. And we have recent – it seems like a lot of people are like, oh, nothing's happening. There's so much happening. There's so much going on, and it's always good to talk about it. But first, I do want to say, we have a special show coming up next week. Danae and Katie, why don't you guys tell us about it?
I thought Danae's camera froze for a second.
That's just her excited face.
All right. That's just my excited face. I think we should all make it. Yeah. New t-shirt. That should be the logo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we're kind of branching out with the Con Guys. Am I right? Yep. I want to do. I'm not the leader of the Con Guys, so I'm kind of looking to Big Brother Jim here. But Katie, we take over if you want to. I can't call you my big brother.
No, I said at least you didn't say dad. That's awesome. Oh,
you are not old enough to be my dad, Jimothy.
Thank you.
Jimothy is his name now. Okay.
No, but like it's kind of cool. Like Katie and Danae, they're really doing something cool next week.
Yeah, we're gonna be launching a sister site to the Con Guys and called the Con Girls, where we'll have all sorts of weird nerd girl stuff and content. We've been brainstorming. I'm sure my roommate will join us. She is too a nerdy Con Girl, so she'll be joining some of that as well. But stay tuned. And next week, which seems like an appropriate week to launch that, being that it's International Women's Day. So,
yep.
Woo!
At first, I thought you were saying my roommate is two, and I was going to be like, "Well, I have a roommate who's two, but she's actually, that's different."
I'm so excited for some of the stuff we're going to try out. I'm excited to try new things with the guys. I'm really hoping Katie lets me play some video games with her because I'm very bad at video games, but I love them. So maybe we can get into Con Guy Twitch a little bit. I don't know the words. We'll play Tetris.
I approve.
I'm super stoked about it. You guys, thank you so much. And I'm appreciative of this because, you know, we're a bunch of dudes here that have asked these lovely ladies to join us. And they are, the thing is, like, Katie and Danae and many of the aspects, most aspects will put me to shame in my knowledge of when it comes to that stuff.
I think you're stealing my audience. I think you're going to steal my mom to watch your show instead.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm really looking forward to that. And if you guys are wondering, well, what's a Con Girl show? Tune in. You're going to see.
Next week.
All right.
And you haven't seen anything until you've seen a Sam's play Tetris. They get very intense and they very competitive and really good about it.
Howdy. This is Cowboy Jim, and I'm here to talk to you about the Cigar Nerd Podcast. Nothing I like more on the old dusty trail than sitting down and listening to two good old boys who smoke cigars and talk about nerd things like movies and TVs and comic books and all that stuff. So saddle up and ride on over to CigarNerdPodcast.com. They're also on the ESO Network. Yeah! Yeehaw!
All right, a little bit of news. Back to the Future news, actually, Cheeseman. Did you know that?
What?
Really? Yes. It turns out that Christopher Lloyd is not done with the DeLorean just yet. He is teaming up with Josh Gates, the host of Expedition Unknown, for a brand new Discovery Plus show. Expedition Back to the Future is a four-part series focusing on the classic car from the Back to the Future movies, and they are on the hunt for the classic car to deliver, this is cool, to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. They are traveling all across the United States, Los Angeles, Houston, New York, and down to Orlando looking for the cars. This is going to be on Expedition Unknown very soon. What do you think about that, cheeseballs?
Great, Scott!
I think it's great! That's very cool.
They're looking for a DeLorean to donate?
Yeah, they're looking for the perfect DeLorean.
So is it like people who have a replica DeLorean from the movie or just a DeLorean in general?
That I don't know. I know out here in Los Angeles, they have DeLorean clubs.
And yeah, I saw them parked in the parking lot at Long Beach Comic Con. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it was just DeLorean, just low-key, just hanging out.
Yeah. Also, just a quick shout out to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, because Jim, you did say that it was connected to that, right? They are searching for the cure for Parkinson's. They do host several 5Ks. I ran one once, and that's just very near and dear to me because Derek and I, our grandfather did have Parkinson's, and it is a horrible, horrible disease. So thank you, Michael J. Fox, and your foundation for searching for the cure for Parkinson's. Right. We really appreciate it.
Right. Amen. All right, some other news. This just dropped today, some Kenobi news from Disney Plus. Game of Thrones and For Life star Indira Varma, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly, is set to star in Disney Plus's upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Yeah, don't mess this up. You're on your close-up, Jim.
Get this right, Timothy.
Get that branding in the shot, Jim. Come on. Let's see the branding. Your shirt. Oh. There you go. Keep talking. All right.
This Star Wars prequel series, which is starring Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, who are both already on board for the series, and it has already been teased. Her character, we don't know anything about it. The plot details are being kept hush-hush, but it's being based on McGregor's prequel movie character of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Christensen is back as Darth Vader, which I think is the big news of this series. The show is expected to take place between the final movie of George Lucas's prequels, Revenge of the Sith, and A New Hope. I love looking at the series here. And do you guys know who this actress is?
Yeah, she played one of the snakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my guess. I could not understand what you said, Jim.
Oh, yeah. She was one of the girls who was the daughter of Pedro Pascal's character. So she was one of the sand snakes.
So she is following Pedro to the Star Wars universe.
Pedro Pascal's character in Game of Thrones.
That seems like a good transition, going from Game of Thrones to Star Wars. I mean, how can you go wrong? One angry, passionate fan base to another angry, passionate fan base.
That's so true. That is so true. All right, and before we jump into our Comic-Con discussion, there is one big thing that happened this week, which we used to address a whole lot on the show, but we kind of have fallen off a little bit. And Derek used to be really big into this, but I don't know if he is anymore. Do you know what show returned to television this week in a big way? Derek?
I'm not sure.
The Walking Dead!
Really?
Have you been in a cave, Derek?
Yeah, basically.
He's a dad. He can't keep up with anything anymore.
I have three very small children. I can't keep up with anything happening outside the house.
He's hiding underneath the front porch.
Wait, in what way? In what way, Jim? What big way?
Derek's in a sensory deprivation chamber right now just to recover.
Yeah.
I said he's in the Phantom Zone.
But it was really cool because, and me and Cheese, we watched it right before the show tonight. Maggie's back. And yep. Maggie is a face-to-face. It's what we've been waiting for all these years with Negan, and it is intense.
Well, a face-to-face with Negan out of a cage. But he's been around, but not uncaged. So a Negan uncaged like had this like awkward moment of like, why is Negan out kind of a thing.
Yeah, and by the way, spoiler warning, we're talking a little bit spoilers here. Maggie, go ahead.
No, I'm just yawning and listening.
Oh, I thought you were throwing.
No, that was more a huh. Go on.
He was making a zombie face. Yeah.
What, Katie?
Internet already really quickly spoiled the fact that she came back. I mean, that's the thing Walking Dead has never learned. They've never learned how to not spoil their own show.
Yeah.
After 10 seasons, they are still doing it.
Well, she left. She left because she had another show that she did.
And that show got canceled.
Yeah.
So welcome back.
Go ahead. What, Luke?
It's like Phoenix of Linkin Park, right, Jake? Inside joke.
You come crawling back.
But the show is really cool because I guess I didn't see the season finale of last year. And Luke, you saw it. You went to a special drive-in experience with Brad to see it, right?
I did.
And what happened in that episode? It was like, what is
that sound? We are having a gym quake right now. Jim, stop that.
It sounds like we're driving in a out of window bound.
Derek, are you in a car, a cave,
okay,
or in the sky flying like Superman right now?
I don't think that was on my end.
But anyways, it was
we
really
cool.
We can't
see your background, so we're blaming you for sure.
Yeah, I'm just in front of a black cloth, basically.
Let's talk about Walking Dead, Luke. What did you think about what we saw today?
It's good to see Maggie back, and it's interesting to see what will kind of like happen with that like conflict between them. We're past what you're kind of mentioning before is we are now officially past the Whisperers, and they're introducing some new villains and all that. So no more. My daughter, where's my daughter? I'm out. Oh, look at me. I got my shaved head, and I'm just talking like this all the time.
Is this the last season we're on now, or is it going to
enter the last season, which is 2 years long?
Yeah, because it's half now and milking it
for all it's worth.
Yep.
I wonder if they'll do. I know they've done a lot of things different than how the comic went, but I wonder if they'll keep the ending somewhat similar. Do you guys know how the comic ended?
I don't think they can because those characters are no longer part of the show.
That's true.
I wonder if they
do a similar thing. I'll just
tell you guys.
It was all a dream in Rick's head.
This is not a spoiler. In the comics, Carl was a big part of the finale of the comics. He cannot. I think since they got rid of him, we have no idea.
They could have Judith be in that role now, though.
Oh. Because
Judith has become like the new Carl.
Oh, man, I love that character. She's so great.
They are siblings.
Yeah. No, but it was cool. We got to see.
She's a baby.
Apparently on the show, Hilltop has been decimated. Negan himself was in charge of helping to burn it down, right, Luke?
Yes, he was, but secretly helping plot take down Alpha.
Yeah, he was doing it to help out, to ingratiate himself to Alpha so he could get in and kill her.
Yeah, because, I mean, they would have done that thing anyways, although I feel like it was kind of his idea. I don't know, but I don't know. You can burn a few things down just to kill the crazy lady.
Anyways, Walking Dead is back, and I was telling Luke, tonight felt like one of those good episodes that I used to enjoy, because it has lost a lot of the heat that it used to have.
Yeah.
Is that a plane?
Sounds like it.
Who's got a plane going in their living room right now?
It's the Batcave.
Anyway,
Sam's Cave.
You guys have a chance to check out The Walking Dead, because the showdown, they don't fight, but the confrontation between Maggie and Negan is worth the episode. And seeing little bitty Herschel, who is the son of Glenn and Maggie, as a little bit more older. He's a little older now. That's worth the episode. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was definitely a highlight to see, like, any, because they dressed him like Glenn. So, like, even like when Negan saw him, you could tell, like, it reminded him of Glenn and kind of the bad thing he did when he took out Glenn.
Yeah. So, by the way, Brad had a comment about the Obi-Wan series. They're already calling the Obi-Wan series The Empire Strikes Back of the Disney Plus Star Wars TV series. That's cool.
Ooh.
That makes
Who's they in that sentence, though?
The Star Wars haters. Just kidding.
Yeah, there you go. Or Disney, who is trying to make sure that we subscribe and watch their shows.
All right. So, Derek.
Yeah.
I have something to ask you.
Go away, Jim.
What did you think of Wanda this week, since it's the weekly Wanda Report?
Oh, man. I loved it so much this week. I am so glad that I was on board with this show from the beginning. I'm glad that I was right, because the show is great. Like this week we got, you know, we got the reveal about Agnes before, and now we were seeing flashbacks and seeing Wanda's childhood, and more of the things that kind of made her who she was, and getting hints that she probably had some powers before she was ever exposed to the Infinity Stone. And that was just able to wake some stuff up in her and make her more powerful. And some really touching scenes with Wanda and Pietro and their family as children and being, you know, victims of all the unrest going on. I know it's a fictional country, but it, you know, it's based on things that have actually happened in the world. It's all drawn from that kind of inspiration. So it was really touching. And of course, when I see kids in difficult situations, like, it's always been something that just makes me tear up. So I was kind of a sucker for some of that in this episode, but it also, you know, we saw them watching these classic sitcoms together as a family, and poor Wanda, you know, it was the last time she had like this, some kind of happiness in her childhood with their family before disaster started striking and tragedy. So we just get glimpses into the psychology behind it. We learn more about what's going on just from a plot standpoint. And we got, you know, introduced to more peril. We started piecing things together in the world, understanding more of what's happening. And then, you know, surprises along the way to set us up for more. I'm just really glad this show's happening. I'm enjoying it. And I'm sorry Danae's missing out.
Yeah, Danae. Jeez.
Danae, did you see it?
I haven't watched any of it.
I haven't watched it, remember?
I was getting wine while Derek was talking.
Oh, another point. Things what I've loved about the show from the beginning is the acting. I think Elizabeth Olsen and Catherine Hahn are both amazing. And this episode was pretty much just the two of them, and a bunch of other stuff. Like, but the two of them were, the focus was their relationship. And I really enjoyed that because I think they're both just great in these roles.
And this is the perfect time for me to say, I'm not going to say anything, Luke, so don't chastise me. But tune in next week, because we have the opportunity possibly to have one outstanding guest on our show next week. I can't tell you who this person is because they might not come on. But Luke's been talking to this person and they are open to coming on. So this is
sweet.
All right, we'll talk about it after the show. Go ahead.
Are you guys gonna make me watch WandaVision?
Yeah,
we are. Yeah. You're gonna have to be nice.
You have to have seen it.
Here's the thing. Like, from what my friends have said, I probably would have picked it up and tried it, but y'all wouldn't quit. And now I'm like, no, I don't want to, just because you're making me. I don't do things that a man forces me to do.
I get that. I mean,
Katie had something to say, and then Luke.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep it brief, because I know there's been some comments saying we talk too much about WandaVision, so I'm going to make it short and sweet. Mm-hmm. This was my favorite episode thus far. I was personally okay with it not going the sitcom route, because you guys know I wasn't a big fan of that. It's something I couldn't really connect with. That's just me. But aside from the reveal a few episodes back with Evan Peters that had me the most hyped I'd been yet, the main thing about this one is, I'll say, it was the revelations that you didn't realize were not already in the MCU. I didn't realize that they had never called her, spoiler alert, realized they had not called her Scarlet Witch until this point. I knew that they weren't allowed to call them mutants. I did not realize that they weren't allowed to say their actual hero names either. So this is the first time we're hearing her called Scarlet Witch. So of course, hyped. I have lots of thoughts and things that I would love to see happen with the show. I do not think they're going to happen. But being the massive X-Men fan that I am, I hope that they use this to bring in the X-Men in a way that is seamless, because just having it be the Scarlet Witch and not using that opportunity to bring in some more X-Men aside from Evan Peters would be kind of a missed opportunity for me. But Marvel's always one step ahead of us, so I do believe that they'll do justice. Next week, there's a big cameo, special appearance. So we'll see who it is. I don't know who I want it to be, but I don't think it will be.
Who do you want it to be?
I want it to be Professor X, but...
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
It'll probably be McAvoy, just because of the way that they've done the timeline with Days of Future Past. I feel like it would have to be James McAvoy. But if it was Patrick Stewart, I don't think any of us would not be able to absolutely lose our mind.
Derek,
for real.
The reason for real.
Sir Patrick Stewart?
Yes, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick.
I'm sorry for disrespecting Sir Patrick Stewart with that. For me,
Jim, where'd our branding go?
I want it to be him because when you think about X-Men, who's the one person who's able to get a mutant under control? It is Professor X. And in the MCU, the X-Men have not existed. So this would be a way to introduce the X-Men without it feeling forced because, oh, she hasn't been an X-Men yet, but maybe this is her origin story for being an X-Men, and we've already gotten some of her origin story thus far, which was interesting because I wasn't prepared to see an origin story for Wanda in the show because usually we see a movie about it.
You think they'll have her be Magneto's daughter?
Yes.
You think so?
Sorry, what were you going to say? Because I have thoughts as well.
Yeah, but I'm good. That's all. I hope we get to the X-Men.
Luke, did you have thoughts?
Yeah, grief. Don't try it at home, kids. It doesn't give you superpowers like Wanda. Just kidding. But it was definitely a cool episode. And Derek, would you call this an elevator episode since they're just kind of like the two of them and just kind of chilling most of the time as a writer?
I don't know, just because we see so many other locations and things too, even though it's kind of in a way like an illusion or happening in someone's mind. Like, we see a lot of other stuff, and it's not like the two of them are just trapped in a room. I mean, they kind of are.
What was going on the outside and what's going on in the inside. So in a way, it wasn't really an elevator episode, but it was kind of focusing on the two characters, which kind of made it feel a tad like that, but I could be completely wrong. But it felt very close and intimate. I expect like Game of Thrones, although that usually theirs is the second to last episode, the very big episode.
Yeah.
This next one is going to be huge. It's going to be gigantic.
I heard it's like, I heard this next one's like a mini movie, if not a movie. It might be like.
It's the series finale, right?
Yes, the series finale. And people are talking, it might be like close to 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Wow. Because they don't have to do multiple seasons or anything. It was just a limited run series, right?
Limited run.
Yeah, what's interesting is like Kevin Feige, he was at the TCA press conferences last week, which is where all the different TV networks and honchos get together and preview everything that's coming on their networks for the coming season. And Kevin Feige was there, this first time he's ever been at the TCA. And he said that WandaVision, as of now, like Falcon and Winter Soldier right now is 6 episodes. Goes well, it could be an. It's not it doesn't have season 2 yet, but it could. Loki, it could. WandaVision has been envisioned as one season, and it leads directly into a feature film because it's basically the prequel to a feature film.
Yep.
So, is it going to be the Doctor Strange movie?
Is it Doctor Strange or is it Spider-Man?
Doctor Strange.
It's Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
But Spider-Man comes out in December. When does Doctor Strange come out?
Doctor Strange is now coming out next year, I think. Or is it later on this year? Oh, we got to look and find out. Yeah, media shock. I hope it's fantastic for her. I hope it comes out of it.
Have one more thing to say before I'm done is spoiler alert, but like one of the biggest things that happened in this is because we all thought Wanda stole Vision's body. Mm-hmm. And then took him to this place, did this like crazy thing that brought him back to life. But it was really her grief that brought him back to life. And then at the end, we got one of the coolest things ever because we got the little like hidden Easter egg at the end where they have a new version of Vision. Although, will it be Vision or will it be Ultron? I don't know, because some people suspect that possibly Ultron's could still be out there too, and would Vision be battling Ultron again? Like, so we'll see. Like it's gonna be a big episode.
It's like Gandalf, and now it's like Vision the White.
Hey, but the thing that was so cool about this episode is I love that it dealt into the emotional journey of Wanda. And the thing that was the the big reveal of this is, like, we've always thought that Wanda and her brother, they volunteered to be part of these experiments, and that's how they kind of developed their powers. In this episode, we found out that was not the case. Wanda is something that's she's had her power since childhood, which leads us to believe, like Katie was saying, she's a mutant. And they're finally going to introduce this idea of mutant. Or I hope so. And like Agatha said at the end, Agatha referred to her as the Scarlet Witch. She's a mythical being who they've heard of through the ages. So maybe Wanda is a bigger deal than we've heard of. In the comic books, I always pull up my favorite comic books. Wanda, she gets her powers. Like, I'm not completely sure of how she gets her powers, but it is magic. She does magic, which is very cool. And like, she was responding to magic, and Agatha was holding her with hex spells and like runes on the walls. And so it became a very magical based episode, which I thought was cool. So. Mm-hmm.
I think this episode should have been called Agatha Explains It All. Just saying, you know, with the whole TV show thing. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. I thought this episode was exceptionally well done. And yeah. I do have a question for Katie, since Danae hasn't seen it yet, but it is it's one of the criticisms that they're trying to avoid and that they've been talking around is they don't want this to be basically the quote unquote mad woman syndrome of a woman losing her mind. And that, because that's kind of a misogynistic storyline. Do you think this is going that feels that way?
No pressure.
I don't think so, but I'm a little slow to get to some of the directions that some people do. like I don't see it in that sense of a black and white way. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that. The thing I think I like most about Scarlet Witch so far is, you guys know the tropes for female superheroes that I don't like. I've said them on this show, and I don't feel like Wanda has those. I don't feel like we've seen her do that. I see it as I like it because it seems like grief. We don't see that very often, you know. Not only that, we haven't seen what happened to everybody who disappeared for Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Just kind of assumed, oh, they repopped into life. Well, that's going to mess you up. Even if it is that trope, that is going to mess you up in the brain if you missed that much of your life and everything has gone on around you. I mean, Hawkeye's daughter grew up and like hasn't grown up. And no, she disappeared, right? Yeah, she disappeared. So she hasn't grown up. But like
Ant-Man's daughter grew up.
Ant-Man's daughter grew up, you know? So like we haven't seen those repercussions. But I don't think that. But I mean, I guess with rewatching it and more analyzing, I could think that. But I don't know. I don't mind.
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay. I will say,
go ahead.
I just wanted to comment. Like, that was a little bit of my hesitancy for liking this show. Is I don't appreciate that a woman's fantasy is being a housewife. Some women do want to do that, and I think we should respect that. But it felt very forced, and I didn't love that from the start. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to wrap it up now because I only saw the first two episodes.
If you watched this past episode, you'd see why it's a coping mechanism for what's going on.
I mean, I heard about it. I'm on Instagram and all the other things, so I've seen the things of why it's a coping mechanism, but I'm still just like, really? That's where we're going with this?
I do have to say one other thing, shifting gears, about WandaVision is, it was interesting to see how Loki's staff kind of was a connection between the two of them. Like, she had an experience with it before Vision had the stone, and then Vision became the stone, and there was some weird kind of connection. So in a weird way, I think connected them. I don't know if there's a lot of talk around that, but it was interesting to see Loki's staff and their interactions kind of, or her initial interaction. I think that was kind of a new thing to see this past episode.
Yeah, if we don't have a Loki and Falcon Winter Soldier update every week, I will hold all of you personally accountable.
Well, we're definitely not doing that. Just kidding. That's my fun girl.
Falcon Winter Soldier starts March 19th and Loki starts June 11th. We will be talking about them relentlessly. Derek, you were about to say something. I'm sorry.
I don't remember. Maybe I was just going to argue with my sister.
That's what we're both really good at.
Yeah. Bro, that's okay. I think we're done talking about Wanda. We've got some more updates, and we've already been on for close to an hour.
this is the last thing about Wanda. Mm-hmm. Kevin Feige did address Evan Peters returning and why he was there. Do you want to know the answer, Katie? It's going to break your heart. As for why Evan Peters returned and not Johnson, Feige said it was, quote, just another way that certain people, Agatha, were messing around with Wanda. At one point, they did consider to bring back Johnson, but they ultimately went with Peters, an idea Feige said that they had pitched relatively early on in the development process. It was just meant to mess with Wanda. So we'll see if they what they do.
I don't always agree with everything or believe everything that people
I know. It's not like Wanda has been watching the X-Men movies.
It's not like
they're messing with fans.
It's not like they tossed out three names for the Spider-Man movie before they announced the actual name.
Mm-hmm. All right.
She didn't watch X-Men. She just watched Deadpool. So that's how she picked him up.
All right. That is our weekly Wanda update. All right, now for the meat and potatoes, which we don't have a lot of time, but Katie, could you give us an update on our Katie's Con update?
Yeah, all right. So it is actually a little bit lengthy considering that there is no conventions, but, you know, with everybody who all over the country, you know, there's a lot of big conventions here in California, but we do also try to talk about the ones that are not in California for those of you who are not in this on the West Coast even. So the first and the closest convention that was supposed to happen was Emerald City Comic Con. That was supposed to happen this weekend originally, but it has been rescheduled to December 2nd through 5th. And it's still slated to happen on those dates, but their website is very vague because I think they're waiting to release too much information because they know that it may change. So you can stay tuned to their website, and as I get more information, I will announce it here. But they literally wrote on their website, more information will follow as it becomes available. Because 2021 is similar to 2020. We're all not sure what's going to happen.
Katie, which convention was that?
Emerald City Comic Con in Washington.
Okay, good.
And it always happens in March. That's why it's called Emerald City Comic Con, because it's in March, Emerald, St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
I just realized that this weekend and felt really dumb, but anyway. because Emerald City Comic Con is not happening, Funko has their slated releases that they have on schedule regardless. So they're doing their virtual con, I believe it's number 5, where they did a lottery to, just like they would at a con, to be the first people to be able to order those online to get the actual convention exclusive sticker. Now I know those of you who are not as familiar with Funko, there are different stickers you can get on Funko Pops that basically make their value more or less. And there's the original sticker that will say the convention is actually debuting at, like Emerald City Comic Con sticker. Those are the ones that are giving that you can get through the lottery. The rest of them will say 2021 Spring Convention Limited Edition or Special Edition. And that is the ones that are available on sites via that shared retailer that each of the Emerald City Comic Con pops gets also released at another store such as Hot Topic or Box Lunch or Amazon. That full list is on Funko's Instagram page or website where you can find out which exclusives are being dropped where. But they're available for purchase online on those retailers at 6 a.m. on Thursday. For example, there's the twins from WandaVision. That's going to be an exclusive. So there's a whole bunch of different ones, and you can find out where they're at via their Funko Instagram. So that's that. And then today we found out that the big con we all talk about and love so much and care so much is San Diego Comic-Con. And like WonderCon, they officially announced that it has been canceled for the 2021 season. And they made an official statement on their website and Instagram, but the gist of it is that it's been canceled. This is the second year for both San Diego Comic-Con and Anaheim being canceled. WonderCon at Home is still happening. It's going to be for 3 days at the end of this month, March 26th, or 2 days, 26th and 27th. They're going to do a virtual con just like they did last year. Hopefully it'll be a little bit better because they've had more time to plan than they already did one last year. And so that'll be those 2 days. Last year, the con guide had a panel. So, you know, that's fun. And then San Diego Comic-Con will also have an online event, Comic-Con at Home. This time it'll only be 3 days instead of the usual 4, just to help them save money because it's been a hard year for them and conventions all across the entire country. And it'll be July 23rd through 25th. They are, however, planning an in-person limited event in November. The dates are not official yet. There is some speculation online that it's going to be towards the end of November, but stay tuned. They're going to be sending out information as it comes available about how you can get there, what the rules are going to be, what they have in place. And that probably is all pending, depending on the state of things. As well as if you did buy a badge for Comic-Con 2020 and it was rolled over to 2021, it will again be rolled over to Comic-Con 2022. But if you wish, they will refund your money. And the refund policy and request is on their website. Because obviously, that's a lot of money. You need it back. They got you. Last but not least, we're going to talk about Dragon Con. Dragon Con is still scheduled to happen in September in Georgia. Dragon Con is known as Party Con. It is a big convention in Georgia. We have yet to go to it. Hopefully, sometime in the future, we will get to go there. It is scheduled for September 2nd through 6th. Their website's still a little bit light on information, probably for the same reasons as everything else. And the guest application, though, for professionals is up now until June 15th. So if you are a professional and you're interested in applying for that, go to the website. You can get information about that. July 4th weekend, so July 2nd through 5th, was supposed to be Anime Expo. There still says on their website that it's happening, but I know a lot of us do not expect that to happen. So stay tuned. I'm sure they'll make an announcement soon because it is only a few months out. And with Comic-Con getting canceled, it's very likely. But as of their website today, it says it's happening, but there is no information about like hotels or tickets or refund policies or anything. So they're obviously holding out information because they don't know. If you guys are curious about conventions, what conventions are happening, what conventions exist, check out fancons.com/events. They have an entire list of all the conventions that they know of on that website. And they have updated that calendar to say which ones have been canceled, which ones are online, and which ones are delayed. And all that information is in a very streamlined form. You just look up that it has the convention name, where it's at, the dates, and then right in little highlighting or crossed off, it says the new information. It's very helpful if you're just looking for a specific con that maybe you go to that's a little con and you haven't heard information about it. Check that out. So, and one more, I apologize it is lengthy, y'all, but there is, and I know Luke will probably like this information if he hasn't heard about it yet. There's a free drive-through foodie fest going on right now at the Rose Bowl. It's on weekends through Sunday. You can get your ticket on Eventbrite. It's a free event. I think you have to reserve a ticket though because of, you know, how many people can go through. The food is not free, but it's free to go to the event. But you get a free mini powdered sugar funnel cake, your online ticket. But it's a whole bunch of food that you get at like the county fairs and city fairs. That's another thing that unfortunately has been canceled.
Corn dogs.
Yeah. So that's another thing that people don't realize has also been canceled. And a huge financial impact is fairs, city fairs, county fairs. Those have also taken a hit. So if you're craving that funnel cake or some deep fried Twinkies, you could go to the Rose Bowl and see if you can get some of that food.
So. Can we go, con guys? Like, can we just pack up and go? Let's go.
Can we all cram into one vehicle and, you know, defeat the whole purpose?
No, that's not COVID safe, Derek. Let's all meet there. And while we're outside, keep our masks on and be distanced along with everybody else.
Can we all cram into one vehicle and cough in Danae's face?
We'll drive a 5-person bicycle with a 6-foot distance between them.
Yeah. But kind of a
fun for trying to cover our butts and be safe on the show, Derek. I'm sorry, Katie. Derek keeps interrupting you.
Not a problem. But if you guys are getting a little crazy in house, I do want to try to keep you guys informed on some things that you can do. Because instead of all the negative, let's try to find some fun things to do that we can enjoy. So,
yeah. And Katie, I think you said there's San Diego Comic-Con specifically. They're sponsoring WonderCon online, right? It takes place March 26th through the 27th. Yep. That's only in about 4 weeks from now. Yep. And then they're also going to, it's only 2 days, and they're also going to take, you probably already mentioned this, the Comic-Con at Home event, which is an online event from July 23rd through 25th.
Correct.
And I don't know if we talked about it, but the interesting thing about, and you probably did mention it, but did you mention the November event?
Yeah, but there's not a lot of details on it yet, right. At least not on the website, because the dates aren't confirmed on the website yet, and it says, we will be emailing out and communicating with you guys one more information in the months coming up to it.
Yeah.
Probably because, I mean, if I would understand that they don't want to release too much information because things are constantly changing.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, the San Diego Convention Center is still a homeless shelter right now. I'm not sure, but they were a homeless shelter for a bit during the beginning of the pandemic. So right. I don't know if they still are.
So you're saying to maybe reserve some Thanksgiving San Diego hotel rooms just in case.
From what I was reading, the best guess is that if it's not at the convention center, it'll be based at the brand new San Diego Comic-Con Museum over in Balboa Park. So that might be where they're centering their convention. I don't know. By the way,
it would have to be tiny.
Yeah, that's really tiny. I don't know how they would do that. By the way, speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, one of our friends we met at San Diego Comic-Con and WonderCon, Andy Haro. It is so good to see you tonight, my friend. I'm so glad you tuned in. I love it that you're here tonight. Good to see you. I can't wait till we are back at the conventions and can meet up again, my friend. So that being said, gosh, that's the San Diego Comic-Con. This is the 2 years in a row that they are not having a convention. This is a big that's a big deal. And no income coming in for San Diego Comic-Con. Their online event is going to be free. I know that we reached out to a few people tonight. Topher, who is one of the friends of the show, he did send us some points. I'm going to kind of go over a few of them. Because he's a vendor on the floor. He's a regular attender. He hosts panels at Comic-Con. He sent us 10 points. I don't know if we can go over all 10 points, but the one thing he did say was this. Point number one, as a vendor, he said, the numbers of San Diego Comic-Con are staggering. It's not just a convention. He calls it a boom town for San Diego. And for those who haven't been, it's not just a convention. The whole city of downtown, the whole downtown region of San Diego turns into this giant geek festival. Mm-hmm. He said, a concrete example on this, SDCC isn't just our biggest moneymaker of the year. Our number two money-making show of the year makes less than half of what they make at San Diego Comic-Con. Not being able to go last year hit their finances in a significant way. And Katie, I know that we've talked about vendors before. The vendors are being hit significantly by the San Diego Comic-Con. That's basically, that's like the granddaddy of their income for the year. And I don't know. Like Topher just said, conventions are – now were, that's sad, they were a lot of people's primary incomes. And one thing that Topher's saying, and he's pretty plugged into the convention scene, he expects the convention companies and convention culture never to be the same again after this. A lot of conventions have folded. And I mean, I don't want to be a downer, but like he says, convention companies, has anyone else realized that the last time that Comic-Con International, CCI, the parent company, made income was in July of 2019. So they've gone 2 years with zero income. That's pretty big. And they're a nonprofit. So they're not one of these companies that builds up a giant pot of money to spend on a rainy day. And he says, and he goes, one of the biggest problems of jumpstarting conventions is that big announcements by companies with booths at conventions have become the staple of these conventions. He doesn't see larger companies risking their talent anytime soon to show up, including artists, writers, actors, and directors. People aren't going to send them to conventions. So it's going to be a bit of time. And then I'm just skimming through here. He says lower attendance is good for attendees, but bad for vendors. So we can talk about how we could go to a smaller convention in November, but – you know, vendors are going to suffer. And you know, Katie, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of an example of big business versus small business. You know, big businesses are taking a hit because of the pandemic, but not in the way that small businesses and vendors are. Mm-hmm. The content, the people not wanting to send talent to conventions for safety is completely understandable. That's not going to hurt the convention as much as all the people whose livelihood is the convention. Yeah. So hopefully in the future there will be conventions and events that are leaned more towards helping the small vendors out and helping everybody out who needs that. That's their livelihood. I mean, I know we tried to feature small businesses on our show before WonderCon at Home last year, and I'm going to put this out there. If anybody is watching who is a small vendor or someone whose livelihood is conventions, say you're an artist and you're taking commissions and you want us to give you a shout out, please reach out to us on social media or on here and let us know so we can try to help you out, because we know it is a tough time. And one of my favorite things that I've done in the past few cons that I've gone to is visit Artist Alley. I never did it before, but it's become one of those things that I try to hit up and go to buy at least two or three things every year that I'm there now to help support the artists who are not able to make that income if they're not at cons. And also giving them what they owe for their work, because that's been another problem online with people not wanting to pay as much money as they think the art is worth. And it's like, that is their livelihood even more so now than ever. So.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Jake, what about you? You're one of your livelihood. I mean, you don't sell it, but I'm saying you collect more than just about anybody I know. What are you doing now, like with conventions on a hiatus like they are?
Well, you know, they still have exclusives available. You can just pre-order them online and everything. But to go with what Katie was saying about like Artist Alley and things like that in San Diego, you know, one of my favorite things to do when I was there was just walk around. I know like everyone's all about getting into the panels and everyone's all about, you know, things like that. But to me, it's like I can watch a trailer on YouTube, and to me to be there, not, you know, coming from Ohio to go to San Diego, to be there and just experience everything is so much more important for me than walk around and see all these people, all this amazing artwork and stuff. And waiting in line hours to get in to see a panel that, you know, honestly I could just watch on YouTube later and see the trailer and stuff.
Yeah.
So I do think it is a big hit for people who, like you said, that is their livelihood. And my favorite part of conventions is that, but you know, there's always going to be big companies like, you know, Hasbro and things like that. They're always going to be able to have exclusives. Even if there's no convention, they can just set up pre-orders and, you know, and that's a whole hassle in itself and getting that done. But it's just the whole being there and looking around in person, seeing stuff and seeing the stuff that people create and, you know, have everything. It's just, it's really too bad, you know? It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Kristen Gust, a friend of the show, and she says it's the same with events like South by Southwest there. And she goes, it's killing Austin.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. What do you guys think about this? And I want to get your feedback. And this is from our friend who sent in some. He's a vendor at many conventions, especially San Diego and WonderCon. He says culture, because of this past year. By the way, you know that in 2 weeks we will have hit 1 year the country shut down. In 2 weeks,
yeah,
and it's a year. Culture has changed because of this last year being shut down. A lot of people have morphed into germaphobes who weren't before. Mounting precautions and mixed messages have made people almost a bunch of chicken littles waiting for the sky to fall. He's not calling them chickens. He's like, you know, the meme.
Yeah, the story of Chicken Little. Yeah.
So he goes, he's got a friend. He's got some friends, parents who haven't left their house in a year. Mm-hmm. Their kids bring them groceries. And then he goes, conventions are a cesspool of germs before mm-hmm. and moving forward. He has to wonder how the attendance will ever recover from this, because people have changed the way they feel about being around people. What do you guys think about that? And Danae, your mom
has so many thoughts.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Where to begin?
Begin now.
Go, Derek, go, and then I'll go.
I'm nervous about saying things that might be too controversial, but I mean, like, it is horrible what's happened in the world. You know what I mean? Like, people, there are many reasons why it's understandable for people, especially if they're over a certain age or have other conditions, to be really nervous about going out and being around crowds. But we've gotten to a point where a lot of people are unnecessary. Some people should not be as afraid as they are, because some people are very young and healthy. And they're just hearing all this news, like all the worst aspects, like the worst cases, and are maybe more afraid than they should be when they're pretty healthy and probably would be not very harmed. Not to say that everybody should just be reckless, but this has affected us in a way where people are so afraid to just be around other people. And like, I was at a grocery store with a friend a couple weeks ago, and his mask started to slip down just a little bit. And it was just kind of stuck where the nose sticks out, which, yes, is not the way you're supposed to wear a mask, but it slid down accidentally. And some jerk like rushed by and was like, the mask goes over your nose and mouth, buddy, and ran away. And I was like, seriously, this is how you're saving the world, by yelling at people whose masks get a little crooked? Yeah, because obviously, you know, this guy's going to give you COVID and you're going to die. I mean, like, and it's just what's happened to society is really unfortunate. And I know, like, that doesn't, granted, that doesn't mean we can just open everything up and just go back to normal all at once. I don't think that anybody's going to go for that. But it's just sad, like, that we've seen some of the worst aspects of human nature on display, and it's hard for people to even overcome, like, all of their fears, to even find ways where they can be decent to each other, even as they're, like, claiming to want to protect others. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because that's supposed to be the idea of wearing a mask, right? Is, like, you worry that just in case you have it and you're not symptomatic, you could risk spreading it to others. So that's why you wear a mask. The point is, out of consideration for others. But if you're making a big deal out of wearing a mask and you're shouting at anyone whose mask gets, like, slightly off, or people who are outside hiking 50 feet away from you who are not wearing one when there is no reason scientifically for them to have one on, like, what good have you really accomplished?
Yep.
You're not really showing love.
Derek and Danae, neither one of them are anti-maskers. They come from a family, a mother who is...
Our mom's an epidemiologist. Yeah.
So, like, they're not anti-maskers. They're anti-haters. So, okay. Danae.
Yeah, just all I could think about when you guys were talking about Comic-Con was the first time we went. And I just want to bounce off of that. Like, our house crest says, just try to be nice. So I believe no matter how much you might disagree with a person, you can approach them in a kind way. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart to just think that we're on day, 365 of March 2020. And because I remember, and I'm going to get a little sentimental, my very first time at Comic-Con was in 2015 with you guys. That's where I met Katie and we became friends. And I'll never forget walking into just the huge floor. And Jim and Luke were both like, wait, we gotta film your reaction.
And we did.
And it was amazing. And it was so wonderful just seeing all of these like-minded people coming together. And I still have just independent artist work from that event that was so amazing. And I think Kristen Gust commented, an artist on here, yes, like, just to copy what Katie said, please let us know. We'd love to share your stuff because I know a lot of us are still working. Yeah, please just give out, yeah, exactly, give a shout out to independent artists.
Facebook.com/leanne.art.
Ooh, yes.
Let us know of artists, independent artists. We want to promote their work. We really do.
Because speaking as, like, an independent artist myself, I'm an author, but it breaks my heart that we can't get together like that. And I can't see the wonderful things that you are pouring your heart into. Mm-hmm. And I missed it so much and I can't wait for it to come back. So yeah, if you have, like, an Etsy shop or a website, please just drop it in the comments. We'd love to share it. And that would be amazing because I miss it so much. Yeah. And just try to be nice is my big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we run out of time, let me go just skim over these points here. A lot of planning and precautions go into planning these events, but Topher has reminded us that California and New York are the only two states where indoor dining is not yet allowed, and Disneyland is still closed, even though Walt Disney World in Florida has proven you can safely open a gigantic theme park without an outbreak of the virus. So all he's saying is take it with a grain of salt when we're going to open up because hashtag recall Newton. All right, number eight. I can't believe I said that, but I mean it.
Yeah, right. Jim, we're not getting political here.
We are not political. We are not political. All right, guys, I'm so sorry for that. Recall Newsom. Point nine. He says he really loves the idea of a November Comic-Con convention. He's been saying it for a decade or more. A November show would do well. It's close to Christmas. The weather makes it possible in California. Get all your Christmas shopping done early. So maybe this could be something that could bring the vendors together. Guys, I'm not trying to be political. I'm sorry. I was just trying to be funny. So please forgive me for that. And we're towards the end here.
But to that point, yes. San Diego gets very hot in July, especially when you're standing outside in line for a panel and it's just like there by the bay and it's just a big broad cement area to stand on. There's hardly any shade, and you're wearing your Tina Belcher cosplay with like a wig and some kind of, and like a skirt over your shorts, because for some reason somebody talked you into dressing like an animated girl for this panel. This happened to some guy I know. I think his name was Jim.
For the record, there it is. Wait, there is a picture. What about that? That's Danae and Derek. What was? Oh, look at
siblings.
Yeah,
Danae likes like WandaVision.
That's Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
We were the Scarlet Wizard and Quicksilver.
And the Scarlet Wizard.
Oh,
yeah.
We gender swapped it. But I think because I cosplayed this, I've got a special place in my heart for Wanda Maximoff. And maybe that's why I'm like attached to this show more quickly. I don't know. I've just loved it.
Yes.
And we look great there, Jim. Thank you.
You guys look great. By the way, the last 2 points from Topher is that
before Derek's man bun, we look so good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's dark, so we can't see it. It's Topher said, convention center and the hotel, they can't just open up to full capacity. They're down to skeleton staff right now. He says he has heard that the Anaheim Convention Center staff is down to almost nothing. So it's going to take time. We have to make long-term announcements when they're going to be having these conventions so they can start gearing back up. So there's a lot of people that need to be rehired, put back in. One ray of hope, according to Topher. For content creators is crowdsourcing. It allows us to get our stuff to people directly, individual creators and smaller companies that relied on conventions to get the news out and sell books and such can thankfully now do so on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Listen, if you are a vendor, if you are an artist, send us your information. We want to promote you. We want to make sure that we can get it out as much as possible. I know Katie, she's got a pretty good following there. I know that we try our best. Guys, let us know. Wait, I don't know what that means. Con guy? No. You the guy. I don't know what this means, but that sounds cool. All right.
That's cool. I'll take it as a compliment.
I did.
Thanks.
All right. Guys, listen. This has been a good discussion. As we sum up the discussion tonight, Katie, what do you think? Where as far as San Diego Comic-Con, do you think I don't know.
So, well, earlier we were talking about how it's going to change. It's impossible for it not to change after this. We're dwelling on the negatives, but there is a lot of negatives, and unfortunately, I think some people are dwelling on that. But there were some things that significantly needed to improve in the way that we as Americans and in the world have approached certain situations, you know, be it the cleanliness, etc., you know. Things we should have been doing that were common sense that we're now doing. Less people is not necessarily a bad thing. It gets really insanely busy on that floor at Comic-Con that you can barely walk around on a Saturday. And is less people a bad thing? Financially, they're going to think that that's a bad thing regardless. But if it causes us to be able to have a little bit better quality of life because we're not in extreme distress from heat or food or whatnot, then that's a good thing. There are some positives to it. And so I do think some of the things that COVID has caused for us to change in our life are a good thing because it's caused us to take into consideration things we didn't do before. And for that, it's a good thing. I personally think going forward, conventions are not going to be able to do the same ticketing method that they've always done. It's going to have to we have 200 spots that we can seat in this room of 400 people or whatnot. And whether it be a reservation system or something like that, making it so you know where you're going at each time, and it's going to cause a lot more scheduling. And I know it is a lot more on the logistics thing, but it might improve the quality a little bit. So that's my thoughts on that.
That's not bad. I mean, yeah. I'm sure we got some things going forward that will probably change and probably change for the better. Media Shock, I love it. In an ideal world, we would all be in a bar having this conversation. More power to it. As we close out, guys, is there anything else that you think that we might see changes going forward in a permanent kind of situation?
They will make attendees wear deodorant.
What is this?
That might be too much to hope for.
What is this? Wait, hold on.
Go ahead, Luke.
Jake is the human being form of a pog.
What's a pog?
A pog. Pogs from the night. You mean like
the little tip thing.
Said that's a good thing. I don't know.
Okay, who doesn't love pogs?
Okay.
Anyone born after the 90s?
Pogs, didn't we? Fifth grade?
Yeah.
I did.
I had a book.
Slam my hand.
That's
interesting.
It's never been called a pog before, but thank you.
Hey guys, listen, Katie. Do you see this? Kristen says autograph pictures and picture ops will likely change.
Yeah, parking.
That makes me sad for like Nerd HQ and Smiles for Smiles.
Well, I think they'll still happen. It's just going to be, different. I don't think you're going to be able to do just like it will be different because especially for certain companies, they're not going to let them do in-person meet and greets. It's just too risky, but there are ways to do it. It's just going to have to take some more creativity on their part. There's ways to do a photo with a celebrity that doesn't involve you hugging them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, but I definitely believe they will change, especially when you're someone of high profile. So
I was going to say, Comic-Con obviously is.
Who is this person? Grease the Beast, I don't know who you are, but I like you.
We're here every week.
And Kristen says there may be cons that are simultaneously live and virtual to make up some attendance revenue. I have a feeling
that's a great idea.
I do too. I think that they're going to start expanding. They originally, remember back, I think it was in 2015, where San Diego Comic-Con started their streaming service. It was Comic-Con HQ. And I think they were trying to move in the direction of expanding their reach. That didn't pan out. Comic-Con HQ kind of got dissolved into, where did it go? I don't know where it even went. I just remember that's where we first saw Con Man with Alan Tudyk, which I love that show. But anyway, these are, go ahead, Jake.
I was just going to say, you know, obviously Comic-Con is such a big deal and such a huge scale, but, you know, just the way things are going to change moving forward. I heard something this week that really made me sad. It was like watching a YouTube video of some vlog, and the guy had brought up the fact that he would probably never, ever go see a movie in the theater again just because of his own choice. He's just like, you think about how dirty movie theaters are and how things like that, and this whole pandemic has really, you know, elevated that to him, brought that to life to him, you know. And it's just a weird thing, like, are theaters open in California? Are you guys able to go see movies in theaters? I know there's really nothing playing, but do they have things going on or anything? Yeah,
not yet.
So Ohio, they have theaters. Some theaters, most theaters are open, but like they have the mask rule, and I don't know how they work that out. But it's such a weird thing to think, like, it's been so long since any of us had been to a movie theater and sat down and watched a movie, which to me was such a big deal. It was such like an almost like therapeutic thing I would do from time to time, because it's just a place you could go sit down and just like not have any distractions, don't look at your phone and stuff, you know. And the whole world now is everyone just watching things at home, and it's just a different experience than what it is. So
Jake on the mic.
All right.
Hey, Recent Beast 1235. Yeah, we are allowed in Cali. We get to only see a bit of the movie. Where are you at, Recent Beast? That confuses me. Hey guys,
maybe talking about the mask covering your face. Maybe that's what it is.
In a form of 3D, you only see half of the screen.
All right, as we bring this conversation to a close, does anyone have any closing statements before I close this out on what they expect? Because let me read the last paragraph of the San Diego Comic-Con. They released a statement today, and this is what it said. And this is kind of hopeful. The past several months have taken a great toll on both families and friends, and we hope this effort, their effort to go online, is a small move toward a return to gathering as a community to not only celebrate popular art, but also friendship, education, and the enduring spirit of the fandom that is so much a part of Comic-Con. We thank you for all your continued and unwavering support during these most challenging times, and we look forward to seeing you guys in November and next year. Guys, we're going to be back. We will be back. There are more important things than con conventions, but I do know that they are a ray of sunshine in a sometimes dreary world. Wait, up here in Massachusetts, we watch the movies in 45-minute increments for cleaning. Are you serious?
Oh, wow.
That makes sense. I've never heard that. I mean, we have to do hourly cleaning at my store, so.
All right. we'll let you do it next time. Reese the Beast, 12:35. Yeah. We got to close out tonight.
Yeah, come back next time, Reese. By the way, sorry. I did get on Urban Dictionary because I'm old. Pog is a word used to indicate excitement or an epic moment. Comes from PogChamp.
Yeah,
which PogChamp is an emote on Twitch TV that usually is supposed to symbolize hype or excitement. So,
Jake, you are a Pog, and then Derek is a Pog, too.
But Katie, what is that? Yeah.
So PogChamp emote on Twitch. When you are a subscriber on Twitch or you have Twitch, there are emotes that are released. They're basically Twitch's version of emojis, but they're made by the particular streamer that you subscribe to. So I have my own emotes for my channel, but PogChamps are ones specifically that are the actual, like an actual photo of a person with like a excited face.
That's amazing.
You put them in the chat when you're posting comments in chat.
Because this is coming from Twitch. These comments are coming from Twitch. That's great. Hey, guys, thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. I know that San Diego Comic-Con is such a gigantic part of what we talk about here because it does kind of bring us all together. And, Jake, you live in the Midwest. I see you more at conventions than I do any other time of the year. I know Luke gets to hang out with you. And Danae, the first time I ever met you was at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. That's where I met you, Jim.
Yeah, well, Derek, it is the first. And Katie.
Yep.
You were on the streets at San Diego Comic Con. Derek, I met you at San Diego. Guys, I didn't realize it. We are all friends because of San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm friends with these two from somewhere else. But
yeah.
That's true. And I met Danae in a hospital back like 28 years ago. Crazy story. I'll tell you sometime.
I mean, I met you guys because Derek asked Jim, like, hey, we're getting Comic Con passes. Can my sister come too? So I'm... Even though I pick on him, I'm incredibly grateful for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I got you into Comic-Con. I got you into Star Wars. I got you into Harry Potter.
All right.
I'm going to get you into WandaVision.
All right. So
good effing luck.
We may not be going in person to San Diego Comic-Con this year. Well, or we might. Me and Cheeseman went down there last year, and it was fun. We might show up again. But we will all be gathered around our computers. I know that sounds depressing, but we love fandom. We love what we love, and this is not going to go away. We will do what we can, guys. Please be tuning into the show. We'll do what we can to bring Comic-Con to you as much as we can on a weekly basis. Cheeseman, where can people find you?
You can find me right here on Twitter and Instagram at CheeseOnCouch.
Derek?
I'm pretty much not on social media these days. Some of that has to do with parenting and all sorts of other reasons. But you can find me here on the Con Guy Happy Hour and on theconguy.com. And one more plug. You don't have to beat Con Guy Derek. Try not to pick any fights in the next event this time. I don't know what you're talking about, Reese the Beast. I don't pick fights. I end them. Just ask my foster kids.
You never fight a guy in a red Speedo.
Wait, Derek, you're giving a plug. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I've been talking about foster care a bit, and, like, you don't have to be the actual caregiver to get involved in some way. You can support organizations that help foster families. You might have friends, someone connected with your church or other, some kind of community organization who is a foster family, and you can provide, you know, whatever help with babysitting or clothes or meals.
Venmo.
Yeah, you can do that, too, but that's not what I'm talking about right now, unless you really want to. But there is stuff out there. Look up fosterall.org. Just search for what's in your area because there's always a need and it is always rewarding. And I'm going to leave you with that.
Awesome. Katie.
I am Katie, aka Katie Christine. I am a very active member of the Con Guy. We will be starting the Con Girls next week. So tune in for that, for the Instagram announcement and for the show next week. You can also find me writing article reviews for that hashtag show for Batwoman and Riverdale. I definitely ripped both of those shows. A new one in my last two reviews. The one review will come out tomorrow. But anyway, because I'm not always like things. Anyway, you can also find me streaming on Twitch. I usually stream late at night, and you can find it at Katie Christine right here. Lately, I've been playing through Ghost of Tsushima, but I also do sewing streams and all sorts of things like that. And I have a couple ideas for some other things I want to do in the future, so stay tuned to all my socials, which is all that. So.
All right, Jake.
You can find me on Instagram at the Jacoba System, but everything you're going to see recently is just pictures of my baby daughter. So if you like some cute baby pictures, you can look at those. Normally I'm posting, I don't know, nerdy stuff, but that's been it lately.
your daughter is one of the cutest things out there. I mean,
thanks.
And plus Jake also helps us. We have another Instagram account called The Tiki Freaks that Jake is helping us to keep going. And There we go. You'll be seeing it on the Tiki Freaks soon. So check it out. The Tiki Freaks on Instagram and the website coming soon. All right, Danae.
You can find me on Instagram at DNAYS. And you can also find me on TikTok at WINEY Danae. Whiny Danae, because I do like wine a lot. And I usually get into TikTok after I've had a little bit of wine. And on here every Monday at The Con Guy.
You can find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter, James D. Fry on Instagram. Thank you guys for tuning in. Last week we had 3.4 thousand people watch the show. So we are so glad you guys are part. And sometimes we have big crowds, sometimes we have small crowds. But you know what? We love every crowd we have. By the way, be checking out also thescareguy.com. This coming week, we are interviewing Lou Ferrigno Jr., who is in a brand new horror movie called Dreamcatcher. So be checking that out soon. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you guys next time right here. Stay safe, kitties.
Stay safe.
On the Con Guy Show. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.